Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Adding an amendment to the U.S. Constitution that would require a balanced federal budget or replace term limits on U.S. senators and representatives all sound like lofty goals. But what are the best ways to attain those goals? On February 25th, 2019, GOP Representative Matt Gabler, who represents parts of Clearfield County and all of Elk County here in PA, introduced House Resolution 206 for the purpose of calling a convention of states. Quote, the purpose of this convention will be to propose amendments to the U.S. Constitution limited to consideration of the following possible topics: imposition of fiscal restraints on the federal government, limitations on its power and jurisdiction, and limitations on the terms of office for Congress and federal officials. End quote. What would such a convention look like? Has one ever been called in the past? Does the Constitution allow it? My guest today is Andy Schlafly. He's with Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. Thanks, Andy, for being with us.
Thank you, Diane, for having me on your wonderful show, and thank you for all the tremendous work you've done over the years.
Well, I mean, you guys seem to be the only ones who are on top of this. So much is happening, and no one hardly is even saying boo and about this whole convention of states thing, and no one's issuing the warnings except you guys. Now, House Resolution 206 unfortunately did pass the House State Government Committee on December 16th, it passed, and the vote was 13 to 11 with only one Republican, Russ Diamond, voting no. Within hours of that vote, an anonymous donor gave the Convention of States people a $100,000 matching grant. Do we have any idea who's funding this effort?
It's dark money, Diane, and that's one of the reasons the alarm bells are going off here. They conceal their identity. I'm confident that it's part of the Koch network.
Okay.
Of donors, which include billionaires and so on. But they conceal their identity, and they're very secretive about it.
Yeah,
and they tend to downplay it, but there it is right there. They advertised that $100,000 grant, mansion grant, came in.
Yeah, I mean, it was astonishing that, you know, within hours of it passing in the House State Government Committee, that email was sent out. I've also heard that George Soros is behind it, but like you said, or at least partially behind it, but like you said, we have no way of knowing who's behind it, who has the money, except obviously deep pockets, who would have that kind of money to offer in this effort. Now, when we talk about a convention of states, kind of describe that. What's the Constitution allow? How does the Constitution describe that and such as that? Kind of just give us a little bit of constitutional insight on this.
Right, Diane. So Article 5 of the Constitution specifies the process for amending it. And the most common procedure for amending the Constitution is for Congress to pass an amendment, proposed amendment, by two-thirds of vote of both the House and the Senate, and then send it to the states for ratification by three-quarters of the states.
Mm-hmm.
And that process has worked well 27 times. Some of the amendments have been very good, such as term limits for the President of the United States. Bill of Rights were good, and so on. Some of the amendments have not been good, like the 17th Amendment,
exactly,
which disenfranchised state legislatures and such that they lost all their power, and now senators are directly elected by the people. But anyway, that's the process. So you know what you're voting on. Everybody knows what the amendment will be. Well, they also included in Article 5, the founders did, a different process whereby the states could apply to Congress for Congress to call a constitutional convention. This has never been used. It requires two-thirds of the states to make a similar application to Congress to call the convention for the purpose of proposing amendments, plural. It's unlimited in scope. It would basically be another constitutional convention similar to the glorious one that was held in 1787 at Independence Hall, except without the heroes who were at that constitutional convention. My mother, Phyllis Schlafly, used to joke that she sees and admires the work that was done by George Washington, James Madison, and Benjamin Franklin at the original Constitutional Convention, but she does not see any George Washingtons, Benjamin Franklins, and James Madison today, and she's pretty concerned about those who think they are George Washington, Benjamin Franklin and James Madison.
Probably those who think they are modern day George Washington's Ben Franklin's, they probably never even read the Constitution. That's very troubling. Yeah. It's very troubling. So the Article 5 in the Constitution does not set down rules as to how such a convention would be run.
That's right.
No rules.
So the rules would be set by those who call it. And who calls it? Congress calls it. That means Nancy Pelosi. Let's face it, Nancy Pelosi. And even when Republicans are in charge of Congress, we know that they're not really conservative. You know, folks like Paul Ryan, looks like a great guy to go to a ball game with, you know, very likable. But how conservative was Paul Ryan, really?
Yeah.
And so what you're going to get are liberals running this thing, setting the rules, defining the agenda, doing what they want.
Exactly. And just the fact that Republicans, and not just here in Pennsylvania, I mean, all the Republicans in the House State Government Committee, except Russ Diamond, and there was one other one who wasn't present to vote, but they all voted for this thing. Why are Republicans so supportive of this push for a convention of states when their 2016 the Republican platform specifically said that they, you know, that the Republican Party was not going to support such a thing?
Diane, I was at that hearing. I testified. It was a thrilling day. There were a lot of students there. It was packed, standing room that went out into the hall. And I counted only about two or three committee members who actually supported this, who genuinely supported this H.R. 206 Convention of States. And yet there they are. Yet months later, they hold the vote, and somehow they got a majority.
Yeah.
And Diane, I hate to say it, but that's dark money at work. That's behind the scenes, arm twisting and bullying and so on. In Texas, I saw one legislator in Texas who has been on record his whole life as being against this, and they bullied him and got him to support it.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's terrible. It's terrible to see this happen to Republicans. These are tactics of the left, and we should not allow that on our side of the political spectrum.
Absolutely. So, you know, one of the things that this House Resolution 206 here in PA said that they were going to limit it, the power and jurisdiction of the federal government. Doesn't the Constitution already do that?
It does.
That's what I thought.
That's the irony of this. We've got a pretty good Constitution now. And if nobody's following the one we have, what makes anybody think they're going to follow a new one?
Absolutely. That's quite true.
And I will say, that Diane, that is so broad, sort of limit the power. They act like that means something. But if you've got some of these people, these secret donors behind them, a lot of them are in favor of open borders.
Oh, really?
And they could get to a constitutional convention and say, well, we're going to limit the power of the federal government by removing border security and opening our borders. That reduces the power of the federal government. Or we're going to abolish all our drug laws. Some of these people who've been associated with the mega donors back there in the shadows, they want to legalize drugs.
Wow.
Well, limit the power of the federal government by repealing all our drug laws.
And we see that happening in the states anyway. This is off topic, but how can states do that when the federal law is what it is?
Yeah, it's terrible. And we just on the news today, New Year's Day, well, yesterday it happened, and Illinois, latest state to legalize marijuana, and I think it was Lieutenant Governor was there in the news and stand in line or purchasing or whatever she was doing. You can look it up on the internet. And the governor pardoned like huge, more than 1,000 people for these crimes. And I don't believe in locking people up forever for these either. I'm not one of those real, you know, tough on crime where you lock away people and throw away the key. But to have marijuana odor all over the place, is that what Pennsylvania wants? And if Pennsylvania doesn't want it, why would we want to let a constitutional convention do it?
True. Well, yeah, that's very true. Because as you're saying, if such a convention was held, the questions are who's in charge, who sets the rules, because there's never been such a thing, such a convention held, has there, since the original one. There's never been an Article 5 convention of states.
That's right. And many statesmen have said that original constitutional convention was a miracle and don't expect it to happen again.
A second time for sure.
Group of people. Remember, every one of those attendees of the constitutional convention had risked their own lives for the liberty of our country. Every one of them had fought in some way and with great courage.
Yep.
Even James Madison, some people say James Madison didn't serve. Well, actually, I looked it up. He did serve in a militia at a time when that was not the right, not the politically correct thing to do. Well, today we're going to just get all these politically correct people who never had any personal sacrifice and who knows what kind of money they're taking on the side. Now, H.R. 206 tried to limit that and said, well, you're not going to be able to take compensation if you're a delegate and stuff. But as I pointed out at the hearing, well, what about someone's spouse? What about someone's children?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you enforce that anyway? No court's going to enforce these limitations that they put in the bill. No one's going to enforce that.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned a little bit ago the 17th Amendment, which gave the people the right to elect U.S. senators. Prior to that, it was a legislature of each state that did that. How did the 17th Amendment come about? Give us a little bit of history behind the effort.
Thank you for asking about that, Diane. And I've mentioned this in some of my testimony and my debates. I debated Michael Ferris about this issue of a convention of the states. And one of the things I said to Michael Ferris is, look at the 17th Amendment. And there was enormous pressure to take this power away from state legislatures. It was against their interest. And this had been building up for years. It was part of the progressive era in our country. And the idea was, well, let people vote on it, vote directly. Well, what that means is the media then really picks these senators because the media has so much influence. So legislatures had resisted that. State legislatures had properly resisted that. But the pressure got so great that finally they got the amendment through Congress, and then it went to the states for ratification. Now, you would have expected the states to say no. You need three-quarters of the states to approve something like this.
Right.
And the state legislatures were against it. It was against their interests. It was taking power away from them. But the pressure got to be so great, as it would again today,
even more so today,
the way the media is today, that the state legislatures all just rolled over in record time, Diane.
Wow.
Some of them passed it almost unanimously.
Now that's mind-boggling. And we see the effort now to abolish the Electoral College. So if we open the Constitution through one of these convention of states, these constitutional conventions, which they don't like to use that term, we could easily see our Electoral College go away.
Absolutely. That'd be one of the first things.
And the Second Amendment,
First, along with the Second Amendment, that's right. And I pointed that out in my testimony in Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's wonderful. In Pennsylvania now, Pennsylvania has all the attention for the next presidential election.
Oh, yeah.
The candidates are coming to Pennsylvania again and again and again. Pennsylvania is going to decide this next presidential election because of the Electoral College, Diane.
Yeah.
It's the Electoral College that makes Pennsylvania that swing state that's going to put the candidate over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania has 20 Electoral College votes. That's a huge number.
Yeah,
and that's what's going to put the winner over the top. So you've got Donald Trump coming here again and again and again. You've got Joe Biden coming here to Pennsylvania again and again and again. And that is where the action is, all because of the Electoral College. Now, why would Pennsylvania want to kick that away?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't read where Delaware, I think they have,
electors, they call them.
That's what I was searching for. And they voted to abolish the Electoral College. Like, you people are crazy. You're giving all the power to California and New York, basically, to determine who's going to be the next president.
Yeah, so, exactly.
But again, that just highlights the dangers of opening the Constitution to amendments through something like a convention of states, which has no rules set.
Right, and, exactly. And look at Congress now. Congress now is virtually run by California and New York.
Well, that's true.
Very true. Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, Adam Schiff is impeaching the president.
Yep.
I can go on and on. You've got the Democratic minority leader in the Senate is from New York.
Mm-hmm.
California and New York run it now.
Yeah, yeah.
So why do we want them rewriting our Constitution, too?
I don't know. It makes no sense. I mean, to be truthful, originally I thought the whole idea of a convention of states was a good idea. But as I began reading more about it, it was like, this is not a good idea at all.
Right.
Because our Constitution is, there's a process set in place, but to open the entire Constitution through a constitutional convention is not a good idea. There's already an amendment process in place that can be done more properly than an open free-for-all. That's how I envision it anyway.
Right. That's exactly right. And then you know what you're voting on through the traditional process.
Yeah.
Whereas here, you have no idea. So some people say, well, if a new constitutional convention came up with some crazy amendments, we'll just block it when it goes back to the state legislatures for approval.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and that's it sounds good, and that fools a lot of people at first. And then actually someone else who pointed out to me that if you read Article 5 of the Constitution, it actually says that a different process can be used to ratify the changes. And so the Constitutional Convention could set up its own new process that would use conventions in each of the states.
Hmm.
And those conventions would then ratify the changes, so it never goes back to the state legislatures. And history buffs will point out that the use of conventions was actually used once in the amendment of our Constitution when they repealed prohibition. They didn't go to the state legislatures. Instead, they called for the convening of state conventions to repeal prohibition.
Oh, really?
So this new constitutional convention, they would come up with all these terrible changes, and they wouldn't go back. They wouldn't send it back to state legislatures. They would then establish a new process.
Oh, wow.
Whereby state convention, they'd set up the process by which those delegates to the state conventions are picked and everything, and we just completely lose control of it, completely. It would, the bad guys would just take over.
Mm-hmm. And that's my gut feeling as to what will happen. And that's why I kind of think George Soros money is behind, at least partially behind, this whole effort. But again, there's no direct proof that that's the case. And a lot of times the promoters of a constitutional convention or Article 5 convention of states, they say that the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia supported the idea of a constitutional convention. What's that? How would we respond to that?
Yeah, that's not true, Diane.
Okay.
So they come up with some video clip before Antonin Scalia was a Supreme Court justice.
Okay.
Well, he's speaking at some academic event at a university, and sort of the banter's going back and forth. And he said something as sort of before he came to Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
and saw how things work.
Yeah.
And he just sort of suggested that maybe some other approaches could be tried or whatever. But once he spent time in Washington, D.C. and learned how our system works,
mm-hmm.
he then spoke about 8 months before he died at an event, at a lunch event, which I attended. And then he took questions. And I'm not the one who asked the question.
Okay.
Somebody else asked him the question.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of convening an Article 5 convention, which is a constitutional convention, which is the same sort of thing as a convention of states. In fact, H.R. 206 mentions Article 5 in it. So
mm-hmm.
what do you think, Justice Scalia, of convening an Article 5 convention to consider amendments to the Constitution? And he responded that it is a, quote, horrible idea, close quote. That was the experience, Justice Scalia, now that after he saw all the special
mm-hmm.
interest groups, the influence of the media, all the craziness goes
yeah.
on. He called it a, quote, horrible idea, close quote. You don't have to take my word for this. This was reported by a reporter who was there. I think it was a legal journal, legal
mm-hmm.
newspaper of some sort. I'm happy to make that available to anybody who wants to see it.
Wow. So he did not think that it was a good idea then, when he described
not.
It as a horrible idea.
Absolutely
so
not.
When it comes to, like you mentioned, with the situation that happened with the passage of the 17th Amendment and the media pressure at that point. And now, as you said, we have Facebook, Twitter, and the whole shebang, internet news and such as that,
right.
and as well as television. I mean, they didn't have television back then either. But the pressure would be immense for the legislatures to pass whatever amendments may have been introduced during a convention of states. That pretty much boils down what we would be facing if such a convention took place?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Just be overpowering. And these state legislatures, many of them are good people. As you know, Diane, you work with a lot of good state legislators in Pennsylvania. But when the media really turns up the heat
yeah.
and really turns the screws, There are very few people who can resist that.
Yeah, and when I look at them...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when I look at the makeup of the House State Government Committee, I was astounded, really, to have the vote come down the way it did. And because
right.
I think there's some who do not understand, especially some of the newer ones, new House members, because there are several new House members who are on that committee, and I think they do not fully understand the ramifications of such a convention of states, such a constitutional amendment, a constitutional convention. They like the idea of limiting the federal government, which our Constitution already does.
Right.
You know, people just need to read the Constitution, especially our elected officials. And we, the citizens, need to read the Constitution to know what it says so that we can see through things like this effort to, get a convention of states started, constitutional convention. So
right.
We already have, I think, 13 states who have passed these resolutions, more than that. Wow.
15, I think. Not much more, though. They passed three in 2019. We shut them out in 2018. They
right.
got none passed in 2018. 2019, they passed three. Now, some of these have sunset limits on it.
Do they?
Which are nice. So Missouri has a five-year expiration.
Okay.
So in another couple of years, the one that Missouri passed will expire.
Okay, so we have to have what? They have to have what? 38?
Two-thirds, so 34.
34. So
yep.
They still have a long ways to go. So
yeah, a long ways to go.
Yeah.
And you look at where they're passing them. I mean, it's they're using tricks like Arkansas. They got passed in Arkansas in 2019. What they do is they sort of take over the party apparatus, and then they get the leadership to endorse, and then they just sort of pressure everybody on down
mm-hmm.
to pass it, and that's how they get it
yeah.
through. I think they broke the rules in Arkansas to do it.
Could
they get sort of small states where they first get control of the Republican Party and then go from there. But they really, that's why Pennsylvania is so significant, Diane. It
yeah.
is really sort of the first major state where they're trying to get it done. And we did block it.
Yeah.
I mean, it got out of committee by one vote.
Right.
But then we stopped it on the floor, and there were many good people who stood up, good Republicans, stood up and said, no, we're not going to vote for this.
Well, that's good. That's very good. Very good. So we should probably still call our state reps and let them know that we don't support
yes.
such a constitutional convention. We don't support bills like H.R. 206, just to let them know we're watching them.
Yeah.
Is there any website or anything where folks can go to get more information, any sorts of information where they can learn more about Convention of States?
Yes, on pseagles.com. That's P as in Phyllis, S as in Schlafly, Eagles, plural, .com. I've posted a lot of information about this, and you can go on there and click the links.
Okay, pseagles.com.
Yeah, pseagles, Paul Sam, stands for Phyllis Schlafly, pseagles.com. And,
okay.
for example, I have Warren Berger's letter. He was Chief Justice of the United States, and he wrote a letter condemning this and saying, don't do this. Don't go there.
Wow.
At the hearing, I compared it to playing with matches in a dry forest. Just don't do it.
Yeah, that's
don't
for sure.
It.
Talk to California about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, tragically, after I said that, like the next couple of days, this huge wildfire broke out in California in a dry forest.
It's all your fault, Andy.
Just don't do it.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Wow. So pseagles.com, and I do encourage our listeners to become better educated on this, because there's going to be a push. They may, this year, it looks like we're going to be safe this new year, and you can expect them to come back in the next legislative session, because they've been trying this numerous legislative sessions consecutively. So we need to keep a close eye on the next session to make sure this goes nowhere, and give your state rep a call even now, and let them know that you do not support an Article 5 Convention of States. Let them know this is a very bad idea. So thanks so much, Andy, for your insight on this, and for being educated on this to help educate us on the dangers of this, because we can't let this happen.
Thank you, Diane. You're my hero, the way you're untiring.
Well,
standing up for our liberties and freedom. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, again, for educating us on these dangers, and for people to speak up and to travel here to Pennsylvania to testify against these horrible, horrible bills. Appreciate them. You take care.
Okay, you too.
Okay, have a happy new year.
You too.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.